June 2019, we had the hottest June ever globally, and we set national records for the highest temperature ever in the countries of Germany, Poland, Czechoslovakia, France, and Spain. The European continent is now in its second summer in a row with extremely debilitating heat. The 2018 heat wave was longer. It lasted a couple of weeks.
What is a heat wave? It's just like...
So a heat wave is where you get a lingering high pressure center. The reason we are seeing these, the most widely accepted hypothesis is that the jet stream is becoming unstable. And the reason for this is because the Arctic is warming twice as fast as the rest of the planet. So the temperature difference between the tropics and the Arctic is getting less. And the jet stream speed and stability is a function of that temperature difference. So,
oh, I see. So we just might not be getting some of those cooler breezes.
Well, the jet stream, in becoming more unstable, starts to meander. It develops very large loops, like a meandering stream. And where a loop heads to the north over Europe, Sahara air comes up across the Mediterranean and settles in over European countries. And in the course of moving, the jet stream is slowing down. So these big loops that bring in tropical air from the south also move slower. So that air resides for days and days, sometimes for a couple of weeks.
I see. So that's what we had there, was 1 week. How were people reacting? I mean, I know there were forest fires, villages were being evacuated, soldiers were fighting fires. How did people react?
So in 2003, there was a heat wave in Europe which killed 70,000 people. That's 70,000 people. It was just unbelievable. And one reason for the extremely high death toll is because folks there had never really experienced a heat wave like that before. It occurred in August.
How did they die?
Well, the elderly, unfortunately, make up the largest single population. Because heat waves had not been common previously, there wasn't much air conditioning in the average home. Many families in Europe go on vacation, and they may leave some family members, for instance, grannies and granddaddies, at home, and that's where a lot of fatalities occurred. So they were unattended. You have blackouts, and when you have a blackout, if you're in an old apartment building in an upper floor where the windows typically don't open, you don't have any water delivery, you don't have any air conditioning, you can't open the windows, and if you're elderly or you're ill or you're very young and unattended, you can't walk down, you know, 7-8 flights of stairs. Communication often fails because of the power failure, and also you call
for... Why would there be a power failure?
Well, everybody's trying to run their air conditioning. Even though there wasn't much air conditioning, everybody was running what there was 24/7. This exceeded the capacity for the local utilities to provide electricity and caused a blackout. And these blackouts are the first sign that a heat wave is moving into dangerous territory. And in fact, here in Hawaii, we have had warnings from HECO, our utility for the city and county of Honolulu. Late in the afternoons of especially hot summer days, public service announcements asking us not to run our air conditioning at night. This happened in 2014, 2015, and it happened last year in 2018. And it's because they realize that the draw on their power capacity by the air conditioning was getting into dangerous levels, and they wouldn't be able to continue to provide electricity.
Well, those weren't even necessarily during heat waves.
They weren't, but they were very hot days.
So what are the implications for us? How do you prepare for a heat wave?
Right. Well, point number one is we are not prepared for a heat wave. Our emergency responders, firemen, police, ambulance folks, are training and very well prepared to deal with heat stress and heat disease. So they know how to handle that. What we aren't prepared for is the numbers of people needing help, going from maybe, you know, a few people to at most a dozen people in a day on a very hot day, and then skyrocketing into thousands of people needing medical attention, needing rescuing, needing help. This is what a heat wave is. And the skyrocketing of these numbers happens when you get a power outage and you get a lack of any place to go where there's cooling. There's no relief. And one of the characteristics of global warming is that the nights are no longer cooling off like they used to. The air is hot all the time.
That poses an extra risk.
An extra risk, and there's no place to go for relief. So how do we prepare for a heat wave? We need to create some emergency shelters. And an emergency shelter in a heat wave is a place like a public building, say a library, or a gymnasium at a school or some other facility where there's backup power, where you either have diesel, as many of our hospitals have, as backup power with their own generators, or battery backup power. And there are, and I've spoken before about resilience centers. So a resilience center is an idea where there would be a public building in a neighborhood that has backup power for at least 72 hours. It would be a place where for several blocks around, it's well known to the neighborhood. They would know that during a power failure, there will be power there. There will be refrigeration for medication. There will be fresh water stored. There will be food stored. There will be bedding. There will be emergency medical supplies. This place is a storage site and a warehouse of what you need when the rest of your resources in a community are no longer available. Plus, it can be a community center. It can be a place where, when there's not a disaster, you can go for workshops. You can go get your Tai Chi every morning, your exercise. You can go hear speakers, things like this. So these resilience centers are an idea that are starting to be embraced by the city and county of Honolulu as a way to make our community more resilient.
Well, I'm sure they're not thinking about building buildings, right?
Well, building buildings is sort of the end member of this. How about refitting or retrofitting existing buildings? And I know that the city is planning on creating some power locations at Alamoana Park, I believe it is, where you can always go to charge your electronic devices even if there's a blackout. So that's the very beginning of a resilience center. And the mayor mentioned this in his State of the City address.
Wow. So that is your number one, your first line of defense is these resilience centers in a heat wave, huh?
Ideally.
How about at home? What can we do at home to prepare for a heat wave?
So, at home, we can all begin to consider the possibility of power that is not connected to the grid, or battery power, or connected with renewable power. I know that putting solar panels on our homes is a very expensive proposition, and not many people can afford the cost. But as we move forward year after year, we all need to some degree, take responsibility for our own safety. And the safest home I can think of is one that has solar panels and a battery system, so that when the sun goes down late in the day and at night, the battery system is providing you with your electricity. You could still be connected to the grid, but you have the resilience of your own sort of energy source, so that your home, where you have air conditioning, your refrigeration, etc., you can keep cooking food. Now, water is a problem because in a blackout, all of us get our water here on Oahu from the Board of Water Supply. They have emergency generators, and they are prepared to always deliver water. But there again, it helps to keep some water stored in our houses. At my house, I have over 20 gallons of water stored. We try to store them in glass containers and not plastic containers. So,
do you have to, refresh that or replenish?
Yeah,
can you just keep it?
Every 6 months or so.
Oh, really? Oh.
And the National Weather Service will also announce a couple of days in advance when there are red flag days or when there are extremely hot days coming. That's a good time to fill up the bathtub or, store water in the house where you can. We haven't yet really experienced this wholesale in Hawaii, but we've seen the very beginnings, and that is in the form of our energy utilities sending out public service announcements asking us not to run our air conditioning all night long, and that has happened a couple of times now.
It sounds more complicated than just getting a battery and connecting it to my solar. Am I going to have a problem with HECO on this?
No. HECO and the commercial providers who can set you up with solar and battery, they are prepared to deal with people who know nothing about this, and they're very good at it. And in fact, I can tell you that I was able to put solar on my home because my commercial provider has a relationship with a local credit union where I can get the loan to put the solar up there, and it's interest free for 2 years. So I'm no longer receiving a large bill every month from HECO, and instead I take that same amount and I apply it towards paying off my loan with the Savings and Loan Association, or the Savings and Loan that has this relationship with my commercial provider. So for 2 years, I get to pay down that loan, and the financing worked out that our loan is almost gone. So once we fully own our solar panels, now we are looking into getting a battery pack, getting a battery wall in our garage. And the commercial company comes in, they look at how many people live there, what are our daily patterns, the electricity demand that we have, and they will design solar panels or a battery pack to meet our needs.
Chip, thanks for these ideas.
So it is possible to do this, and you don't have to come up with the upfront money.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. It takes somebody describing the way.
Hmm. These heat waves are occurring on continental areas, and the continents are warming up faster than the oceans. So the fact that we're surrounded by oceans buffers us somewhat from the full weight of a heat wave. We are, in Hawaii, when we start to set record temperature highs, it's on the order of 90 to 93, occasionally a 95 degree high. In France and Spain and the rest of Europe right now, their highs are 112 degrees, 114 degrees. So these are, almost 20 degrees higher. And that difference is enormous and directly maps onto human safety. Being aware of events like this, I think, does several things for all of us. It keeps climate change and the dangers associated with climate change ever present in our minds so that we can begin to make our choices as we go through life more carefully with this information in mind. And we can also talk to other people about climate change, and that actually raises the resilience and the safety of our families and our whole communities. And the more we talk about this, the more we learn about the details of climate change, the more we're going to be ready for the negative impacts.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome,